Welcome, Discovery Rangers. Today we will be exploring AI tutors or nature play. Discover the best ways for kids to learn with engaging facts about technology and the great outdoors. Perfect for homeschool, STEM and family education.
Imagine you're stuck on a math problem. You're just staring at the screen, getting frustrated, and suddenly an artificial intelligence version of Abraham Lincoln steps out of your digital textbook to explain fractions to you.
Which is pretty amazing to think about.
Right. It's wild. But now, imagine putting that screen down, completely stepping outside into the woods, and picking up, like, a muddy, jagged pine cone, and then realizing it holds the exact same math secrets hidden right there in its spiraling scale.
Oh, absolutely. Math is everywhere out there.
Yeah. So today, for you, our absolute favorite young learner listening right now, and, you know, the parents listening right alongside you, we are putting two epic learning champions into the ring.
It's a pretty big matchup.
It really is. We've been digging through this massive stack of incredible research from places like Edutopia, Little Lit AI, and the Children in Nature Network, all to answer one massive question about how your brain actually grows.
And we've got two completely different worlds to look at.
Exactly. In one corner, we have the super smart screen. You know, the whole world of AI tutors and digital sidekicks.
Yeah.
And in the other corner, we have the forest floor. Like, real world, hands-on, messy, unpredictable nature play. So, okay, let's unpack this. Which of these learning styles is actually better for our brains and our bodies?
Well, to figure that out, we really have to look under the hood of what these two contenders actually do to your mind.
Right, how they actually work.
Yeah. Let's start with the digital sidekick. When we talk about an AI tutor, we have to be really clear about what we're dealing with here. We aren't talking about a calculator.
Oh, right. Because a calculator is just a machine that follows a rigid rule. You punch in numbers, you get an answer.
Exactly. Artificial intelligence is completely different. It's about training a computer program to recognize patterns and solve problems in a way that's very similar to how a human does. It actually pays attention to how you learn.
Wait, hold on. How does a computer program actually pay attention to me? I mean, it doesn't have eyes. How does it know if I'm, like, sitting there struggling?
That's the brilliant part. It looks at the patterns in your behavior. Say you are working on a math app. The AI is tracking exactly how long it takes you to answer a question.
Oh, so it notices if I'm just breezing through.
Right. It notices if you speed through all the addition problems, but then you just freeze up for 2 minutes every time a subtraction problem appears.
Wow, okay.
It analyzes the specific mistakes you make, too. If you constantly forget to carry the one in a big math problem, the AI recognizes that exact pattern, and that leads to its absolute biggest superpower, which is its adaptability.
So it changes the game based on how I'm playing it.
Exactly. I mean, think about a standard classroom. You have one teacher and maybe 25, 30 students.
Right.
If you get stuck, the teacher might try to explain it differently once or twice, but they eventually just have to move on to help someone else.
You don't have a choice.
Yeah. But the AI tutor adapts to you in real time. If it sees you are getting frustrated with numbers, it completely changes its approach.
Like how?
It might instantly generate a visual diagram for you. Or it swaps out the numbers for an interactive story about sharing slices of a pizza working with you until the concept finally clicks.
I love that. It's like having a perfectly custom fit bicycle.
Oh, that's a great way to put it.
Yeah, like if you're riding a normal bike up a really steep hill, your legs start burning, you get exhausted, and eventually you might just get so frustrated that you drop the bike and quit.
Right, the struggle is just too much.
Exactly.
Mm.
But the AI tutor is like a bike that automatically shifts the gears for you. It senses the hill is getting too steep for your current skill level, so it makes the pedaling just a little bit easier.
And it doesn't pedal for you.
Right. You're still doing the work, but it keeps your momentum going so you don't give up.
And on top of that, you get instant feedback. You aren't doing a worksheet, handing it in, and then waiting 3 days for a teacher to hand it back with red ink all over it.
Oh, I hated that.
Yeah.
By the time you get that paper back, your brain has completely forgotten what you were even thinking when you wrote the answer down.
Exactly. The AI tells you the very second you make a mistake. This allows your brain to correct its neural pathways while the thought is still totally fresh.
Okay, so I was looking at the Khan Academy tool. They call KhanMigo. It's an AI tutor. And this just blew my mind.
It's an incredible tool.
It really is.
Yeah,
it doesn't just throw math and science problems at you. You can actually have a full-blown conversation with an AI pretending to be a historical figure.
Which is so cool for young learners.
Right. So if I'm learning about ancient Egypt, I could literally type a question to an AI pharaoh. But hold on, if I ask an AI pharaoh how they built the pyramids, how does it actually know how to answer me like a real person from thousands of years ago?
Well, it's because the AI has been trained on millions of pieces of text, historical documents, books, records.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it uses natural language processing to predict what that specific historical figure would most likely say, using the actual vocabulary and tone of that era.
So it's not just like playing a pre-recorded video or something.
Not at all. It is generating a completely unique response to your specific question, word by word, right there in real time.
That is just wild. And it never gets tired. It doesn't need to, you know, take a lunch break.
No, it doesn't. But what's really fascinating here is the psychological safety this creates for a kid.
Psychological safety? What does that mean?
It simply means your brain is totally free from the fear of being embarrassed.
Oh, I get that.
Imagine being in a classroom. If you don't understand how fractions work, raising your hand in front of all your friends to admit you are confused can feel terrifying.
Oh, I remember that feeling so well. You just nod and pretend you understand so nobody looks at you.
Precisely. We've all been there. But an AI tutor provides a completely personalized zero judgment zone. You can ask the AI to explain the exact same math problem 10 times in a row.
And it won't get mad.
The AI will never sigh, it will never roll its eyes, and no one else in the room has to know you're struggling. The research shows this environment allows children to take way more intellectual risks.
Because they aren't scared of failing.
Exactly. And that builds a massive amount of confidence.
Okay, so the AI gives your brain this perfectly safe, highly controlled, personalized space to fail and try again. But your brain doesn't just learn by thinking in a little digital bubble.
No, it certainly doesn't.
It learns by moving. So to see how our bodies actually lock in that learning, we have to step out of that glowing screen and into, well, the most chaotic, messy laboratory on Earth, the great outdoors.
We do, because while the digital world is customized to explain abstract concepts, the physical world is where those abstract ideas actually become real. We shift our focus completely from the keyboard to the dirt, the leaves, and the water.
And this is where you start learning with all five of your senses. The research on nature play talks a lot about going on a sensory walk.
Yes, sensory immersion is huge.
Think about what happens when you step outside into a forest or a park. You aren't just looking at a flat image on a glass screen. You are feeling the sharp crunch of gravel right under your shoes.
You're engaging your whole body.
Right. You reach out and feel the rough, scraping bark of an oak tree, and then you compare it to, like, the smooth, waxy surface of a green leaf. And you are smelling the damp earth and the pine needles.
And that smell part, that sensory immersion, is crucial for memory. The human brain's olfactory bulb, which is the part that processes smells, is directly connected to the hippocampus.
Wait, the hippocampus is the memory center, right?
Exactly, the center of learning and memory. When you link a scientific concept to a physical smell and a physical texture, you are creating a much stronger, more permanent neural pathway than you ever would by just reading about it.
You're actually living the science. Like, I was reading about an experiment where kids test buoyancy.
Oh, that's a classic nature experiment.
Yeah. Instead of just, you know, reading a boring definition of buoyancy on a screen, you go outside right after a rainstorm, you find a big muddy puddle, and you gather different things, like a heavy rock, a dry brown leaf, a green leaf, maybe a piece of bark.
And we should quickly define buoyancy mechanically here, just so we're clear.
Good idea.
Buoyancy is simply the water's invisible upward push against an object. When you drop something in the water, gravity is pulling it down, but the water is pushing it right back up.
Yes. So you drop the rock in the puddle, and gravity wins instantly. Splash. It sinks right to the bottom.
But then you drop the dry leaf.
And the green leaf. And you are physically watching the water push back up against those leaves, and you're testing which one stays afloat the longest. You are doing real scientific observation with your own two hands.
It's incredible. And the math applications out there are just as rich. Nature is absolutely full of geometry, if you know how to look for it.
Oh, like the pine cone I mentioned earlier.
Exactly. A pine cone isn't just a seed pod. It's a spiraling cone. A pebble is a rough sphere. You can actually take those shapes and build what are called nature mandalas.
I saw those in the research. They are so beautiful.
They really are.
You gather up all these different colored flower petals, stones, and twigs, and you arrange them on the forest floor in these incredibly complex, perfectly symmetrical, circular patterns.
Exactly. And when you balance, say, a heavy rock on top of a small twig to build that mandala, your muscles are making tiny micro adjustments.
Oh, because you're trying not to knock it over?
Right. Your brain is calculating weight distribution, mass, and gravity through the nerve endings in your fingertips. You are literally physically wiring the concepts of physics and symmetry into your body rather than just memorizing a formula on a chalkboard.
And then there's the whole biology side of the messy laboratory. Like you can build a bug hotel.
I love bug hotels.
That's so fun. You take an old plastic bottle or like a wooden box, and you just stuff it tightly with hollow bamboo reeds, dry leaves, and pieces of bark.
You just leave it out in the garden.
Yeah, and soon enough, you have solitary bees, ladybugs, and pill bugs moving in. You learn firsthand that these bugs aren't just creepy crawlies, they're tiny workers.
They have a job to do.
Exactly. You watch the pill bugs break down the dead leaves and turn them into compost, which puts nutrients back into the soil so new plants can grow. You are holding the entire circle of life right there in your hands.
Or consider the simple act of looking up at the sky. You can make a rain gauge out of an old plastic bottle and a ruler to track how many inches of rain fell overnight.
Oh, yeah, we did that when I was a kid.
It's so simple, but so effective. You can study the clouds to predict the weather. Are they big, fluffy, cumulus clouds that mean a nice day? Or are they thin, wispy cirrus clouds high up in the atmosphere that might mean, a change in the weather is coming?
Plus, you're also just getting massive health benefits from being out there. You are soaking up sunlight.
Which is vital.
Yeah, sunlight triggers your skin to produce vitamin D, and vitamin D acts like a shield for your immune system. It helps your body fight off colds and build strong bones.
Absolutely.
Plus, when you are jumping over logs, balancing on slippery rocks, and climbing trees, your brain is constantly calculating distance and balance, which builds up your physical coordination.
It's a full body workout for the brain.
But wait, hold on. I need to push back on this for a
Okay,
second.
go for it.
I totally get that building a bug hotel is incredibly fun. I get that playing outside is good for your muscles and your coordination. But how does that actually help you learn, like, academic things better? Does being happy and running around physically change how your brain absorbs a geometry lesson?
That is a brilliant question, and the answer actually lies in our hormones.
Hormones.
Yeah. When a student is sitting in a classroom feeling frustrated or overwhelmed, their body releases cortisol.
That's a stress hormone. Yep.
Exactly. Cortisol is a stress hormone. When your brain is flooded with cortisol, the learning centers of your brain literally lock down. You enter fight or flight mode, and your brain basically stops absorbing new complex information because it's too busy dealing with the stress.
Oh, wow. So it's like a locked door. No matter how good the AI tutor is or how great the teacher is, if the student is stressed, the door to the brain is just shut tight.
Precisely. Now, what does nature do? Countless studies show that simply being in a green environment, touching dirt, and moving your body drastically lowers your cortisol level.
It flushes the stress away.
It clears the stress right out of your system and releases dopamine and endorphins. Nature unlocks the door. It completely prepares the brain to be highly receptive to learning.
That is fascinating. You literally have to prep the brain with nature before you can fill it with information.
Exactly.
But look, every superhero has a weakness, right? We can't just talk about the amazing parts of screens and forests. We need to look impartially at the worries and the genuine concerns experts have about both of these learning styles.
It's true. Neither approach is completely flawless. Love it. Look at the bumps in the road, starting with the digital sidekick. A massive concern regarding AI tutors is the risk of cognitive offloading.
Cognitive offloading, which
Yeah.
many people just call cheating, right?
Yeah.
Or over-reliance.
Right. Because the AI is so incredibly smart, it can just do the work for you.
Yeah, if you let it.
When you struggle to solve a complex problem, your brain is doing heavy lifting. It is physically building a new bridge between two neurons. If you get impatient and just ask the AI to give you the answer, you never build that bridge.
It's like having someone fly you to the top of a mountain in a helicopter.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, you still get to see the beautiful view at the top, and you technically reach the summit, but your leg muscles didn't do any of the climbing. If you're relying on the helicopter every single time, your muscles stay weak.
That is a perfect way to visualize it. If you rely on AI to do all your critical thinking, your problem-solving muscles just never develop. If the AI hands you the solution, you haven't actually learned the steps to get there.
Right.
Furthermore, AI completely lacks human empathy.
It's just code at the end of the day.
Exactly. It can detect that you are answering math problems slowly, but it doesn't know why. It doesn't know if you were having a really bad day, if you didn't sleep well last night, or if you were feeling sad about something that happened at recess. It's just a machine reading data points.
And machines make mistakes. I read that even the most advanced AI models sometimes hallucinate or just mess up complex math equations. You really can't trust them blindly.
You really can't.
Plus, there's the whole issue of data privacy. Even with child-safe models, parents have to be incredibly careful about what information a computer program is collecting about their kids' learning habits.
Absolutely. So, yes, the super smart screen has real, tangible limitations. But the messy laboratory of the forest floor has its own set of serious challenges, too.
It does.
The biggest one, raised constantly by educators, is the challenge of access.
Because not everyone has a magical, safe forest right in their backyard.
Exactly. If you live in a rural area, stepping outside into nature is pretty easy. But if you live in the middle of a densely populated city, surrounded by concrete, finding a safe, nature-rich green space to build a bug hotel.
Or to test the buoyancy of leaves in a puddle.
Right. Doing those things might require a long drive or a bus ride. It simply isn't equally accessible to every single child.
And let's be honest, nature doesn't care about your lesson plan.
No, it does not.
An AI tutor is available 24/7, rain or shine. If you plan a whole afternoon of outdoor science experiments, a sudden thunderstorm can completely wash out your plans in seconds.
Very true.
And let's be real about safety. You can leave a young child in the living room with an educational app for 20 minutes while you make dinner. You absolutely cannot send a 4-year-old out into the woods alone to learn about biology.
Absolutely not. They constantly need an adult there to make sure they don't eat a poisonous berry or wander off.
So this raises an important question. Knowing the incredible strengths and the very real flaws of both systems, how do we find the balance?
Because we know from pediatric research that excessive screen time, even educational screen time, interferes with healthy child development.
Right. It impacts sleep, attention spans, eye health.
Yes. We cannot abandon the physical world.
So it's not a boxing match. The screen doesn't actually have to knock out the forest floor. Instead, what happens when these two completely different worlds join forces?
The experts call this the hybrid approach, and they overwhelmingly agree that combining both is the ultimate key to a well-rounded education.
I love that.
The trick is simply assigning the right roles to the right tools.
Okay, assigning roles. Let's break that down. So if we look at the AI tutor, what is its best role?
You use the screen for the repetitive foundational practice.
Right. When your brain needs to drill the multiplication tables over and over, or when you need instant grammatical feedback on a paragraph you wrote, you use the AI.
You let the machine handle the basic skills drills because the machine has endless patience.
Precisely. You use the technology for targeted cognitive training. But then, and this is key, you deliberately close the laptop, you put the tablet away, and you step out into nature. Play for everything else.
You use the outdoors for the messy, hands-on experiments that build physical coordination. And crucially, you use nature to develop social-emotional skills.
Because an AI tutor cannot teach you how to be a good friend.
It just can't. An AI can't teach you the physical negotiation of sharing a cool, sparkly rock you found in the dirt with your sibling.
Right. Or how to communicate and work as a team to lift a heavy branch to build a fort in the woods.
Those are human, emotional skills that absolutely require physical interaction.
And there is a secret ingredient to making this hybrid team up actually work.
Oh, the most important ingredient.
It's the parents. The research makes it so incredibly clear that parents are the bridge between the screen and the forest.
Yes, parents are needed to sit down, set the boundaries for the AI sessions, check the data privacy, and really guide the digital learning.
But parents are also needed to put on their rain boots and jump right into the mud puddles alongside their kids.
Because, at the end of the day, a screen cannot give a child a high five when they finally solve a tough problem. And a tree cannot give a child a hug when they are feeling discouraged.
That's so true.
The emotional support, the empathy, and the shared joy of discovery provided by a parent or a guardian, that is the glue that makes the hybrid approach successful.
And here's where it gets really interesting for the future. If you successfully blend these two together, you don't just get a kid who's really good at math on a screen.
Right.
Or a kid who just likes catching bugs. You get a child who is a digitally savvy problem solver and a physically healthy, nature-loving explorer.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, this is exactly the kind of mind our future demands. To translate what all these experts are saying into everyday terms, you, our young listener, are growing up in a world where knowing how to talk to a computer and use artificial intelligence is going to be just as normal and necessary as knowing how to tie your shoes.
You absolutely have to understand the digital world.
But we also live on a planet that desperately needs people who know how to protect the soil, the trees, and the rivers. A hybrid approach builds a mind that can think critically with the best technology available and a heart that values and understands the physical earth.
You are building both the brain and the heart.
Exactly.
So let's quickly recap this massive journey we just took. We started by looking at AI tutors, those tireless digital sidekicks that adapt to our specific learning patterns.
Automatically shifting the gears on our bicycle so we never get stuck on a steep hill.
Right. Providing a perfectly safe space to fail and try again.
Mm-hmm.
And then we explored the sensory explosion of the forest floor.
Where we lower our stress hormones to unlock the brain.
Yes. And where we turn abstract ideas like buoyancy and geometry into physical things we can actually hold in our hands.
We looked at the dangers of relying on the helicopter to fly us up the mountain instead of climbing it ourselves.
And the real challenges of accessing safe outdoor spaces, too.
And we found that combining them with the crucial guidance of a parent creates the ultimate educational team up.
So I have a challenge for you, our listener. Sometime today, I want you to think about your own routine. What is one specific thing you learned today by looking at a screen? And what is one specific thing you learned today by touching something real out in the physical world?
It's a brilliant way to notice how your own brain is bouncing between these two environments every single day.
It really is. But I want to leave you with one final kind of provocative thought to mull over.
Oh, I like where this is going.
We've been talking about balancing the screen and the trees by switching back and forth, right? Screen time, then outdoor time.
Right.
But what if the AI and the forest literally teamed up at the exact same time?
What do you mean?
Imagine taking a child-safe AI voice assistant completely outside with you into the woods. You are walking along, and you hear a strange bird singing high up in the canopy. You hold up your device, the AI listens to the audio of the bird song, and it instantly helps you identify the exact species of bird right there in the wild while you are standing with your boots in the mud.
Oh, wow.
The screen and the forest, working together simultaneously to help you unlock the mysteries of the world.
Now that is a truly spectacular vision for how learning is going to evolve.
It really is. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive today. Keep asking those massive questions. Keep investigating how things work and keep exploring both in the digital world and out in the great, messy outdoors. See you next time.
Thanks for listening, Discovery Rangers. If you enjoyed this, please ask Mum or Dad to play another episode for you.